Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now we're going back live to the Olympic Games in Paris, where Dara Lynch and Philip Doyle claimed bronze just in the last 30 minutes in the men's double sculls final. And for more on that, we're joined by RTE Sports Des Cahill. Des, a great win, the first in the rowing for Ireland, a great achievement for Dara and Philip.
Huge achievement for them. They were fancied now by a lot of people to possibly even medal higher, but that doesn't take from an Olympic medal, such a rare thing for Ireland. And we now have one gold and two bronze. Great achievement for them both to be Olympic medalists. So few people will ever be able to say that in Ireland. It also bumps us up the medal table, Áine.
We're
17th.
Nice.
Bear in mind, a gold trumps 10 silvers. So obviously our gold, Daniel Wiffen's gold, puts us up there. So we have a gold and two bronze alongside South Africa, Belgium and Kazakhstan. But we're ahead of countries like Brazil, Argentina, Korea, Spain. We're ahead of Spain in the medals table.
It's brilliant.
That's fantastic.
An amazing achievement. And
hey,
the team
there. Curiosity.
Yes.
Out of curiosity now, because I would, if I was asked to name the top three in the medal table now, I'd have only got one of the three of them.
Oh, let me see.
I have it in front of me, obviously.
Well, so, what? USA have to be way out in front.
Yeah, go on. Who would your three be?
Let me see.
I would have had them in my three.
Well, Great Britain, last time I looked,
I would have had them in my three.
And maybe Australia have been going well in certain.
Well, you're
China.
It's China who are way out in front. China are way out in front. And France are second, and that's unusual. And again, it shows the lift a home nation gets in Olympics is unbelievable. If you look at the host nation every Olympics, their record is generally way above the norm. So France are second and Japan are third, and then it's Australia and Britain. But it just shows you that home advantage thing that France have. The home crowd drives on and inspires the athletes.
And there's definitely lots of Irish out there supporting Dara and Philip this morning. I think you and the team there, Des, have been talking to Dara and Philip post-race.
Yeah, well, it's tough for them now. They just pull in and they're about to get ready for the medal presentation. They're pulled in. David Gillett got to speak with them first. Philip Doyle.
I know you're tired physically, mentally. You gave it absolutely everything. Can you sum up what's going through your head right now?
Well, I made a massive mistake there at the end, so I have to apologise to everybody. I think we were coming for the Dutch big time, but we could smell them and sniff them. We knew these lads are on some other kind of planet over there on the left-hand side, but We went earlier, we pushed harder through the middle to get through. We knew people would have something else. So I think the mistake I made was a culmination of all the extra work I had to do in the middle. But I could feel his legs going, I could feel his calls. We went early in our sprint and thankfully we had enough actually to make the mistake and keep going. But another day, but sure, look, we look back and see what we can improve for. Yeah. Whatever's coming next, but fair play to this big lad here.
Dara, come over here. I know you're wrecked. But again, those calls, because it's an Olympic final, other crews did push a little bit early. Did you expect that, particularly the Dutch?
I think what the Romanians did, we expected, but we didn't think they were going to hold on. It's like they nearly got knocked out in that semi-final by, like, they were really gifted that final spot by Serbia, who stopped rowing. So I didn't think they'd be that form in the space of 2 days, how they turned that around so much. So, like, we're kind of going toe-to-toe with the Dutch. We knew our sprints a lot better than the Americans. Obviously, there's doubts when it's, you think they might have a bit extra in an Olympic final, but we just stayed in our boat and, yeah, pushed it on, tried to push early just to let them know that they weren't going to sniff. So.
And that sprint finish, you gave it absolutely everything. It was so close, but you were almost running out of water towards the end.
I was running out of mitochondria in my right arm there, but, yeah, no, we had to go early, so we had to. We thought if we went to the Dutch like that, I said, we would end up clearing the field, but the lads had a stormer, so you can't take anything away from them. But, geez, first heavyweight medal ever. It's nice to write that into the history books and finally do what we've been saying all week. We try to be calm, confident, and a little bit under the radar. So it's nice to step out and get the podium for everyone at home, because I've never seen this many supporters at a race ever. So come to the next ones. But it's absolutely fine.
And indeed, supporters here, and there's a lot of supporters in Clonmel as well, so you have to say hello to them. But lads, I'm going to let you go. Go to the podium, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you after.
Merci, au revoir.
And they're on the podium now as
just
we speak on
them.
You.
They have the medals around their necks, and the Irish flag has just been raised there. Another proud moment for Team Ireland. And we're not done yet with the rowing, Des. Irish oars will be hoping for even more success over the coming days. What do we have to look forward to?
Again, here I am tempering expectations, trying to calm everyone down, because I was getting carried away a bit today, to be honest. We have three more in finals tomorrow, and if we were to get a medal or two out of that, and you'd think we would, but I think today's race just sums it up. Romania were comfortable winners of the gold, and they sneaked into the final.
But so Paul O'Donovan and Vince McCarthy, they're doing a good job at managing expectations.
I'm not sure if they are. I think it gives the complete opposite impression. but we'll see how it goes. I would be hopeful of another medal there as we're going. We have three in it. But the other chance today, Anya, is in sailing. It's not here in Paris. It's in Marseille. And it's called the medal race, the final, and the top 10 boats qualified for that in the skiff. And our lads have a real chance there. Robert Dixon and Sean Waddell, they're in second place going into this last race. They're 5 points behind Spain, three ahead of New Zealand. And
that's starting again. That's day four.
It's
starting at
lunchtime. Lunchtime, 1:45 there. It's the final. There are other sailing events on, but that's... That's at 1:45 they'll be in action. And that could be another medal for us by early afternoon. Fingers crossed.
What of the boxing then? Like heartbroken Aoife O'Rourke last night. Oh,
it was
so disappointing for her.
Yeah, that was the biggest, for me, the biggest roller coaster day we've had, particularly in the boxing. So Kelly goes out in the afternoon and comfortably ensured she becomes only the fourth Irish Olympian to medal in two games, and bronze so far, and could be more, obviously, and she's in great form. But then came Aoife O'Rourke, who I was quite confident of getting a medal, quietly confident of, not quite good, and she was beaten very controversially, split decision, 3-2. Two judges went for her, two judges went for the Polish champion Wojtek. The other judge had it as a draw, but had to pick one or the other and pick Wojtek. But the issue was, not many people would have seen, for those who didn't see the fight, rather, to explain it, Aoife is a boxer. Wojtek had lost 6 times out of 6 to Aoife. So she went in to upset it and turned it into a maul. She kept grabbing her, holding her. The Polish fighter was docked a point in the first round, and we all thought should have been docked again in the third round for slapping rather than punching, which could have you docked. But for the constant holding, it didn't happen, and she's controversially gone out, and that's tough.
And Aoife herself seemed stunned, didn't she, when totally the other girl's arm was raised?
I was saying, it's a while since somebody's defeat bothered me on a personal level so much. It bothered me for partly because of that. On the one hand, it was dignified. On the other hand, I was wishing she'd be angry at her. But what does that achieve?
And
but
there's no comeback. Like, it's done.
There's no comeback.
Decided.
You can appeal, etc. And you're basically just highlighting what was clearly poor officiating. But you're right, there's no comeback.
And then for Kelly Harrington, a different prospect. When is she back in the ring after I think it was unanimous again yesterday.
Yeah,
it was.
It's Saturday, she's back in again. It's a repeat of the final in Tokyo when she beat Brazil's Beatriz Ferreira. Ferreira might be a tougher prospect now. I think that's going to be a very tough fight for her. But she's been in such good form, hasn't she? She's looked so impressive.
And the focus.
Contained.
And when the cameras went to her last night, it was such a differential between her opponent, who was lively, smiling to the cameras, and there was Kelly, like, doing a meditation. Like, she was in her zone.
Yeah, yeah, she is. She was taken away for testing afterwards. They handpicked several of the fighters, so she couldn't come out and chat in general. The tarnisher was there with some of the officials from Ireland, and you probably know the tarnisher's father was very involved in boxing in Cork and all that, so he was there as a supporter. He'd been at the rowing, but Kelly wasn't allowed to come over. She had to go and give her test. But she was so focused, but she was very relaxed afterwards, very relaxed. I got a text from her last night.
What's she say to you?
She's chilling. She said, "Was I imagining it, or did I see you there?" And
you confirmed.
I think she's more impressed at how did I get standing beside the tarnisher. But anyway, so she's in good form. But she mentioned in her interview she's staying in her own bubble. And we were chatting about it last night. Does that mean you watch everything, all the other fighters, or do you just stay away? And maybe she stays away for her own.
But she's certainly
in a good place, isn't
she? Yeah, she's focused. There's radical focus there. She's in her flow. She's in her zone and seems to be enjoying it. Like, she's having fun with it, which is hopefully what we'll see with the flyweight boxer, Dana Muirhouse. And we've got the heavyweight, Jack Marley, as well. They're back in action today, Des.
Yeah, Dana's first fight. She's up against a French woman, though, which is so difficult because... We were there yesterday in the session when Kelly was fighting. There were two French boxers, and Kieran, who's on sound here, was recording the noise when the French fighters came out. It was incredible, and it was it's hard going in against that. But Bernard Dunn thinks Dana has a good chance there. And then Jack Marley, who's a heavyweight, we've never won a medal at heavyweight, but if Jack were to win today, he would be guaranteed a medal. And Sally Noggin, man, all the lads from Sally Noggin are out waiting to march on the arena today. So I hope he's young, though, Anya. And at 21, that's considered young at heavyweight level. And he's up against the Asian champion from Tajikistan, which far more grisly and experienced opponent. So, but fingers crossed for me personally, Jack getting a medal would be my high of the games if you were to do that.
Yeah. And competitors who are very experienced then are Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry in the golf. The golf started, I think, earlier. I think Shane was due to tee off first, was he?
No. Shane, well, I'll tell you, we'll go exactly live to the course because we can join Gary Moore. And they're both underway now, Gary, yeah?
Yeah, they're both underway, Des. McIlroy of the two Irish was first out. They are beautiful conditions here at Golf Nacional today. It's about 27 degrees, a light breeze, a superbly manicured course, and a quality 60-strong field for this men's tournament. Very international flavour, as you'd expect, I suppose, to the top of the leaderboard. At the very top, it's Hideki Matsuyama, the former Masters champion, 5 under par. After 9 holes, and he's one ahead of Matthias Schmid from Germany, Joaquin Niemann from Chile, Ryan Fox from New Zealand, one of only 4 players, I think, to have played in Rio, Tokyo, and here in Paris, or the 3 recent incarnations of golf in the Olympics, and also Tom Kim. He's also in that group on 4 under, 1 behind Matsuyama. Well, Rory McIlroy, he's in the marquee 3 ball. With Scotty Scheffler and Ludvig Åberg, and McIlroy is 1 under playing the 8th. That's tied 17th. Scheffler's 2 under. Åberg also 1 under. McIlroy missed a good few greens. He didn't get up and down from a bunker on the 2nd, but a couple of brilliant flop shots led to a birdie on the par 5 3rd and a couple of subsequent par saves. Shane Lowry, well, he's 1 over after 2. He bogeyed the first hole. McIlroy and Lowry, I can tell you, last night were at Roland Garros watching Rafa Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz losing in the men's doubles, and that is possibly Nadal's last ever match. But their focus this morning is on the golf, of course. McIlroy 1 under par playing the 8th, and Lowry 1 over playing the 2nd. The leader, Hideki Matsuyama, on 5 under.
All right, thanks, Gary. 27 degrees and a light breeze.
Sounds
we'll have
just
to get
lovely.
A bit of that. Yeah, and the show jumping. Sorry, Anya.
No, I was going to say with McIlroy and Lowry, I'm always struck there's a lovely chemistry between them, like this great friendship. And I wondered, with the two of them there, hopefully encouraging and supporting each other on, do you think they could pull off something this week, Des?
Yeah, well, they'd have to. Sure, Rory is like favourite for all the majors and hasn't won on them. And I think that's adding to his anxiety to win a medal here. And we met Shane the other night and he'd love it. You know, as like Shane carrying the flag, as you know, he loves being Irish, representing Ireland, it would mean a lot to them. But for them, it's a bit different in that they fly in here. This is just a personal opinion now. They fly in here and they play in the Olympics. And then next week they go off. Shane is playing something like 9 out of the next 10 weeks. You know, they'll be playing in Florida, playing in. Whereas for the others, you know, Jack, for instance, Jack Marley, this is the destination. This has been the years of work just for this. But for the golfers, the pro golfers, they move on in the circuit and the world. So, for them, it's a different feel. Rory McIlroy was asked about it. He said, maybe the majors are bigger, but we'll see. I know Shane would just love to win, and we'll see how they get on. But I think they have to be in the mix to answer your question.
So, show jumping next, Des?
Yeah, because we always kind of do well in the show jumping, don't we? So, dare I say it, could we be in the mix here? Well, it's team show jumping started today, and there's been a change to the format. It used to be 4 riders. Now it's only 3. And and before you could drop your worst score, do you know what I mean, and carry forward three scores. So you can't do that anymore. So Daniel Coyle, Cian O'Connor and Shane Sweetenham in action. Shane was the first to go. He had four faults on James Cann-Cruz. Now, four faults is good in that there were six clear rounds. And there's only two countries on four faults at the moment, ourselves and Israel. It's all the countries you'd expect had the clear round in the first horse: USA, Sweden, Germany, Britain, Brazil, Netherlands and Belgium. But there's all kind of, poor old Poland had 28 faults, Japan had 20, Australia had 16. So there's 20 teams on you, and the top 10 go forward to tomorrow to the medal day. So I think we should be able to make that, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, past performance is often the best predictor of future performance, Des. So we've got good precedent
learning,
in history
behind
us.
You've become an expert on all this and the psychology of it.
I would watch anything that involves sports and athletes. Absolutely fascinating. Speaking of whom then, Mona McSharry. She was disappointed last night, Des, wasn't she, coming out the back of that, not making a final in the 200 metre?
Yeah, and her words, something went wrong. I'm not really sure. Honestly, I'm not a psychologist either. I've just seen lots. It must be hard after the high of the medal and the emotional high. No matter how do you detach yourself from what it means to your family and your grandparents and everyone else, and how do you try and sleep despite having a medal on the pillow beside you, and get your focus back in. That's maybe a whole learning process for athletes. Some people do it all the time. She didn't perform as well as she wanted to. Sixth in her semi-final, 11th overall. And nobody cares. She got a medal for Ireland.
She's a medal. And she has one more go, doesn't she, now with the women's medley relay?
Yes, yeah. Don't think we'll be medalists realistically.
Okay.
No, I'm just being realistic. Maybe I'm quite happy to be wrong, more than happy to be wrong, but I think that was her best event and where she'd focus on most. We've lots more though in action though on you, just for people just throughout the day, they can keep an eye on, because the men's hockey team play Argentina, and although they've been beaten, they've two games left, and if they could win those two, and they might feel it's more on their level, Argentina today, 12-15, and you think they could still possibly get through the group. We've Noel Hendrick in the K1 canoe slalom, and we've two more sailors who are only beginning their campaign, unlike the skiff, in the dinghy class today. Eve McMahon and Finn Ryan are action. So there's lots going on, and hopefully we'll have more good news as the day goes on, possibly from Marseille.
How do you think we're trending against the very ambitious forecasts that were there at the start of the Olympics, Des? Do you think we're about where we thought we'd be?
Honestly, I thought we were kind of slightly ahead at 5 o'clock yesterday evening. The Aoife O'Rourke thing really threw me, and I think it shows the fickleness of this. And equally, I suppose, you lose at one end, and on the other, Mona got her medal by 1/100th of a second. So whoever the fourth place woman was, you can understand how her and her family feel. 1/100th of a second.
Yeah, it's fingernails in the difference,
totally,
isn't it, when it comes
totally.
Even to swimming. Yeah. Well, thank you for all of that, Des Cahill, in Paris. You can watch all the Olympic action on RTÉ 2 and the RTÉ Player throughout the day. We'll be back after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.